this year, as we're moving into it, the children are going to be studying this morning in their classes Matthew chapter 3 and verses 13 through 17. And the story that, where did he go, by the way? But that John the Baptist, alias Matthew, told this morning is the one that Diane's going to read for us, and the one that we'll be looking at together in our time in the message. And the children at every grade level will be looking at that. We'll be looking at that. So as you have children and you go home with them, you can talk about, you can work with the very same scripture passage. Diane, come, and let's just pray that as we hear the word she reads, Lord, come, and as Diane reads this scripture for us, Spirit of the living God, let the words, let the truth, let the power of your word go deep into our lives and our spirit, and help us to live and act on it, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
So I am reading from Matthew 3, verses 13 to 17. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him by saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? Jesus replied, Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At the moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And the voice from heaven said, This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. May God add his blessing to this word.
My wife, Jan, and I have the rich and wonderful blessing of four grandchildren, soon to be 8, 6, 4, and 2. And the great gift that we have is that whenever they see us, strangely but wonderfully, they have the largest smiles on their faces that you could ever imagine. And they have their arms wide open. I can picture it now. We had wonderful times together over Christmas. They come running and leaping towards us. Wasn't always like that. No, it's the truth of it. That's not what it was always like. Their two mothers, our daughters, and their fathers, our son-in-laws, they had to smile. And they had to coo, and they had to talk, and they had to hug them for many days and weeks, months even after their birth, until they finally received their first smile in response. They were not born smiling and hugging and running. No, they were not. It's their parents, you see, who had to awaken within them a love and a confidence and a joy and a trust. It's their parents that awakened all of that in the hearts of their children. And as grandparents, we're simply reaping the dividends and the benefits of that and trying to keep encouraging it on. They've been loved into loving. They've been smiled into smiling. They've been hugged into hugging. In our scripture lesson Diane read for us this morning, Jesus has been baptized by John, and as soon as he came out of the water, well, you won't believe what happened next. Well, maybe you will after having heard that children's story. Whoa, man! Well, I don't know, but no, honestly, you wouldn't believe what happened next. Diane read it. Heaven opened, and as Jesus was coming up out of the water, heaven opened, and God came descending like a dove and rested upon him. And Jesus then heard a voice from heaven that said to him, You are my son. I love you. I'm very pleased with you. Now, there's several things that happened here. When it says that heaven opened, That doesn't mean that Jesus looked up into the sky and he saw a door that was ajar miles up in the sky and the heavens, and he was able to somehow look through that door and see heaven opening up. No, not at all. Heaven in that day, for him, it was understood as being God's dimension of living. You know, we live with 3-4 dimensions. Physicists, not necessarily even Christians who are physicists, but physicists, they estimate there are 11 dimensions, 7, maybe 11 dimensions. This is the God dimension. And this God dimension is what happened here. It was like an invisible curtain being pulled back, and Jesus standing in that river, his four-dimensional world and life, he was able to look into the God dimension of living. He was able to look beyond simply standing in that river. He had a look into heaven itself, and he was standing right there in the presence of God. And his senses were alive to God's dimension of reality. And God the Father spoke to him and said, "You're my son. I love you. I'm very pleased with you." Now, understand, mind this, this is only Matthew 3. Jesus hasn't done anything yet. All right? There's still, you know, there's how many chapters in Matthew? Test time. 28, okay? And he's still got a whole lot more to do. He hasn't done anything. He hasn't started his ministry yet. He hasn't given the Sermon on the Mount. There's not been any teaching. There's been no healings. There's been no miracles. There's been no exorcisms. Nothing. Just right at the very beginning. So why is it that God says to him, I'm pleased? I don't know. Do you get this? What was it that pleased God the Father with the Son? Nothing he had done. It was the relationship. Do you see that? Do you get that? It wasn't the doing stuff. That would be very important. But that's not what brought the pleasure. It was the being stuff that brought the pleasure. When my son, Keith, was in grade 5, he was 5 or 6, I guess. He was 10 or 11 years old. He had a part in his elementary school play called Hotel Hollywood. And I don't think it's a good thing he's over in Glasgow, Scotland. He won't come back, and I won't play this tape after the service for him. But I was, you know, sorting through some stuff the other day, just in some spare time, and I came across a video cassette that we had of the play. I remember it like it was yesterday. I wouldn't think that Keith does. He had a singing, he had a dancing, he had a speaking part in the play. You know how this goes. That school gym, Memorial School in Stony Creek, it was just packed out to the walls. I mean, they filled that place. Parents like us, grandparents, restless siblings, you know, cameras. I mean, video cameras. They were everywhere. And the crazy thing was that we clapped endlessly, and then at the very end, we all stood and we gave them a standing ovation. We cheered them on. Now, I really don't think there'd be enough money in the world that I could pay you to watch that video. I mean, how would I put it? I want to be polite, something about the quality of the production. Let's just say it was lacking, okay? Yes, Keith, but you know what? As far as I was concerned, Keith was great. Are you with me? I mean, he was great, and every other parent there thought that their child was great. And you know, when I think back to it, it's like 25 years later, I'm still pumped about that day. I mean, it was really important. It was one of those highlight moments. Why? That was my son up there. That's why it was exceedingly special. It was the relationship. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says that God has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He's brought us into the kingdom. Hear this now. He's brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. It's the relationship. You know, they say about real estate, location, location, location. And God's dimension of reality, it's relationship, relationship, relationship. It's the three R's. God the Father loves the Son. And in that moment, Jesus was enveloped in the love of the Father. He was covered with the power of God the Holy Spirit. That's what was going on in these moments after Jesus came up out of the water. Now, going back to the relationship of love between my grandchildren and their parents, here's what it says in 1 John 4, verse 19. We read this: "We love because God first loved us." What was it that made possible the relationship of love that my daughters and my son-in-laws have for their children? What is it that makes possible the love that Jan and I have for our grandchildren? It's the love of God for us. Even before our love for them, it's God's love for us. Our love for them comes out of God's love for us. We love because we've first been loved. We've been loved by God. Here, stick with me here. We've been loved by God into loving. Loving God and loving others. And again, you just have to hang in here with me. We need to go back again and again. I don't know if I can bring John the Baptist back every Sunday to retell that story. But it wouldn't be a bad thing. Because we need to go back again and again and again to that story. We need to let ourselves become saturated in the story that we had told in the children's story that Diane read for us this morning. We need to let ourselves become fully immersed in that so that it becomes our story. And in that story, we hear the voice of God speaking to us. We need to let those words of love that were spoken to the Son shape and form and mold and craft and change us and help us become the person that God created us to be. We need to know that we're loved. I can't think of anything more important in life, in this world, in the universe, than for us to know that we're loved. And sometimes the curtain will, like it did for Jesus, sometimes the curtain for some people gets pulled back. And there will be an opportunity to see in God's dimension of reality like Jesus did and get a deep glimpse into all of that. More often than not, though, the norm is going to be until, you know, the Lord returns, that we're going to have to walk by faith and not by sight. And the faith that we walk by is faith that is in Jesus Christ, the one who experienced what we heard, lived out in the story and read in the scripture this morning. And I see it like this, that the smile of a mother for her newborn child is like a microcosm of the smile of the love of God for each of us. The delight that God has in you and you and you and each and every one of us in Jesus Christ. I'll say it really simply. Jesus is God's smile to us. You say, well, how can I know that God loves me? Because of Jesus. That's how, and that's why. Jesus is the very smile of the love of God for us and over us and in us all the days of our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of," hear it now, "of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus." It's in Jesus that we see it, that we get it. We are loved, truly and deeply loved. And because we've been loved and because we continue to be loved by God, love is to be our ongoing response back to God and towards each other and towards the wider world. The story of Christmas, the birth of Jesus, it leads us right into the story of Jesus being despised and rejected and scorned and misunderstood and hated and ignored and finally crucified and then dead and buried in the tomb. Name me a mother, or maybe a few. I cannot dare to think that it wouldn't be like this, but show me a mother who doesn't experience in seeing her son or her daughter rejected and scorned and dismissed and ridiculed and not just have her heart go out. That's what happens. Mother, a father, giving all their heart to embrace and to love and to protect and to hold and to secure her son or their daughter. That was the ongoing love of the Father, of God the Father, for God the Son. You know, Diane read this scripture, Matthew 3. Bible test. How does Matthew 4 open? It opens like this. The Spirit of God led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the evil one. God, the Holy Spirit, who loved Jesus, takes him right into the desert after this pronouncement, this declaration, takes him right into battle. And there in the desert, in the midst of all that, the 40 days there, Jesus isn't alone. He wasn't alone. The Spirit of God the Spirit was with him, and the love of God the Father and the power of God the Holy Spirit was with him as he faced the onslaught, as he dealt and did battle with the evil one. And Jesus knew even in that hard time, hear this now, he knew in the hard time who it was that loved him. He wasn't alone in the hard time. God the Father and God the Spirit were with him. And Jesus, in the midst of that, doing battle, he trusted in the care and the protection of his Father and of the Spirit. And that same protective care and love and direction and guidance over your life and with you is upon you, is with you, as you've put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. As you've come to understand that your new identity, when you step into this relationship with God through Christ, your new identity is someone over whom you no longer have to worry or be concerned about thinking of God even for a moment, that God is like a bully or God is some kind of threatening presence, some kind of intimidating figure, someone who's distant and remote and far off from you and not all that interested in you, demanding and like a tyrant. No, no, no. Jesus is the smile of God. Jesus is the love of God that awakens love within you. You're loved. You're cared for. You're held within the safety and the protection of God. It's in Jesus Christ that you come to know, I come to know, that we are loved, we're cherished, and we're affirmed, and we're valued. And this is just the 8th of January. Do my quick math, there's still 357 days left in this year. And I don't want this for any of you. But I dare say that some of you, in some ways, are going to face the battle this year. Some of you may already be in the battle. Already, 8 days into the new year. I want to say to you that you can face whatever comes at you, whatever the hard time, whatever the time of challenge, whatever the time of question marks and confusion and disappointment and worry and anxiety and fear set upon, you can face that head on, empowered by the love of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I'd say, and I'd invite the praise team to come forward. I'd say to you, just as I end, It's a prayer, really, for you and for